Love this podcast? Support this show through the Acast supporter feature. It's up to you how much you give, and there's no regular commitment. Just hit the link in the show description to support now.
Normally, being a little extra can be a bit much, but when it comes to healthcare, it pays to be extra. And United Healthcare makes it easy with Health Protector Guard fixed indemnity insurance plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they supplement your primary plan, helping you manage out-of-pocket costs without the usual requirements and restrictions like deductibles and enrollment periods. So when it comes to covering your medical bills, you can feel good about being a little extra. Visit uh1.com to find the Health Protector Guard plan for you.
When you're ready to pop the question, the last thing you want to do is second-guess the ring. At BlueNile.com, you can design a one-of-a-kind ring with the ease and convenience of shopping online. Choose your diamond and setting. When you find the one, you'll get it delivered right to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off your purchase. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Hi, everyone, and welcome to the Cognitive Recalibration Podcast. As always, I'm your host, Shravan. We got Tyrone here sitting opposite me.
Hey, mate.
Hello. That wasn't me. But this is me.
So today we're going to be talking about the Christmas special MCU Disney Plus show, Hawkeye. And we're joined by two special guests, two returning guests from our famous Avengers Supercoach episode.
What did I tell you, man? Hawkeye would always come back.
So we're joined by Karidi.
Hi.
And Bhaskar.
Hi. Hey, how you going?
Welcome, guys.
Hi.
I remember Karidi rode me to the finish line like on that one. That was something
I love riding you, man.
And that was Hawkeye versus Doctor Strange. So we got... We're returning with Hawkeye.
That's right. Yeah.
I started making arguments and he started arguing for me. On my team. I was like, what's going on?
Good times. Yeah.
All right, so we're going to do our usual background, and we'll talk about a bit about the comic books with Hawkeye, and then we'll jump into our non-spoiler review. So up till that point in the episode, we'll still be doing non-spoilers in case you haven't seen it yet, and then we'll jump into full spoilers. So we'll go episode by episode and talk about anything that we want. So background-wise, this show is created by Jonathan Igler. I looked at what he's done in the past in terms of TV shows, and he was a writer for Mad Men, that TV show. Recently, he was a producer on the Netflix series Bridgerton.
Oh, yeah. Great show.
Nice. Wow.
I know it. How do I know it?
Okay, it's that show where it's basically this chick that gets an arranged marriage with the guy, and it's which century? 18th century? 19th century?
What, and she's not brown?
No. It's like 19th century England.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Except it's like mixed cultures, isn't it? It's like
there is. Yeah. Yeah. But so people went crazy for it.
Yeah. It's not meant to be good though.
No. It's like Gossip Girl, except
set in the 18th century.
Yeah.
Nice.
Yeah.
Gotta watch it then.
So that was a review for Bridgerton folks.
Yeah, there you go. So obviously Jeremy Renner is back as Hawkeye, but we've got a whole range of other cast members that have joined just for this series. Namely, Hayley Steinfeld, who we'll talk about, and other people. So I won't mention them. Maybe they'll be sort of spoilery. But, yeah, Vera Farmiga's in it in a prominent role as well. Six episodes altogether. So it's a shorter series. How many episodes was Falcon and Winter Soldier? That was six. As well, right?
Yep.
Yeah.
Loki was six. Yep. It was just WandaVision. WandaVision was eight.
Eight or nine. Yeah, I think.
Still the worst.
But they had some shorter episodes.
And What If had more?
What If had 12? Yeah, but that was animated.
And each episode's about 40 minutes to an hour, so it's slightly longer episodes. And budget for this show altogether was $150 million, which is equivalent to like a big budget movie. And then it released on the 24th of November, just finished on the 22nd of December, just before Christmas.
Nice.
So like all good Christmas gifts, it came with a bow.
Fucking loser. Your whole family's demented now.
Comic book stuff. So when do you think Hawkeye first debuted in the comics?
33.
No, it's not.
It's a bit early.
Yeah. What, are you telling me it's not a classic?
33 is a bit earlier than the classics.
I'm going to go 1950.
A bit later than that. So
probably.
68.
Close. So 1964 was his first appearance in Tales of Suspense, issue number 57. And in terms of his abilities in the comics, so he's a master archer and marksman, which he is in the MCU, expert tactician, acrobat, and hand-to-hand combatant. And he uses a variety of trick arrows, which we certainly see in this show. And we see it more in this show than in the other movies, right? Yeah.
Explains it more in this show.
Yeah.
It's the first time they refer to it as trick arrows. I picked up on that. It's like new vocabulary. Maybe they're calling it back to the comic.
And in the comics, he's also Goliath at one stage. Did you know this?
No.
Yeah, so apparently he was Goliath at one stage, and that when he's Goliath, he's got superhuman strength and durability and size and mass manipulation.
Mm.
So there is already a Goliath in the MCU.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Lawrence Fishburne.
Yeah. Oh,
it's like, that's been confirmed.
Oh, he's in Ant-Man and the Wasp.
Yeah,
so Ant-Man. The second one, he refers to the fact that he got really big.
I do not remember Lawrence Fishburne and Ant-Man and the Wasp. I gotta watch that.
I don't think you remember Abbott and the Wasp.
The movie's pretty average.
Yeah. I don't think most people.
He's only in a couple of scenes. So he used to work with Hank Pym. Cool, and that's and he's also called the Golden Archer sometimes in the comics.
Mm.
So
he's also the Ronin.
Yes, the Ronin. Yeah, and in this.
Yeah.
Oh, we're talking about
Hawkeye. This is the Hawkeye review episode.
Okay, so that's what I had for comic books. So let's jump into our...
You know Jeremy Renner has his own app?
It's discontinued. Yeah,
it's total bullshit.
Yeah. It's decommissioned now, but yeah, he did have an app. But
was it an app on just Jeremy Renner?
I think it was like...
It was like an app for his content, I think.
No, I think it's like a fan connecting app thing.
It was like a Facebook thing. Yeah.
Ask him questions and stuff.
That's why. Like you had to pay for things. And it gave you like nothing of value.
That sounds like an OnlyFans.
Massive scam.
That sounds like OnlyFans.
No.
It's like
OnlyFans sending out
Jeremy
Renner.
Jeremy Renner just sending out dick pics.
Hey, it's more. You can do more than that.
All right, let's get into our non-spoiler thoughts. So positives and negatives. We'll go around the table. You can start first, Tyron.
Me?
Yes.
I don't want to start first.
Okay, Pascal, start first.
Yeah. I'll be delighted to start.
Yeah.
First thing, I felt that's a really nice, Christmas time, end of year, family MCU special kind of vibe, which is nice. It's good to have something to kind of – it's like after all the intense stuff we've been through in the year, it's nice to have something just to, settle down and smooth into the new year with, which is – it was good and really, really nice insight into all of Hawkeye's kind of deeper storylines and his origin / stories with Nat and all that kind of stuff and how that kind of eases into and also the whole trauma post Endgame.
Yeah. General trauma because he's just a guy.
Yeah, that, yeah. Especially his health wise, which we'll go into later as well. That's I think it's and also a wonderful introduction to Kate Bishop. So
yeah.
Overall really good.
Yeah. I guess should we explain the story high level? It's post Endgame.
Post Endgame. Kate Bishop is in it, and
Kate Bishop, a famous, I presume. But the fact that you guys are saying Kate Bishop, I presume she's a comic character.
Yeah,
that's fairly famous.
Yeah,
because I didn't know.
So this
I've
comic
after at the end of the series that she is, but
this story is basically not shot for shot, but it's very much based off, and it's probably the most accurate representation that they've done comic to TV adaptation of My Life as a Weapon. So that's a comic run that they did, and it's basically that story just in TV form. It's direct.
So it's like post Endgame,
like not exactly the same, but like they carry over a lot of the elements. Like the Tracksuit Mafia is in that. Tracksuit Mafia is in this. Kate Bishop's in that. Kate Bishop's in this.
I always find tracksuit. A tracksuit mafia always a bunch of idiots.
Yes.
Yeah. Like
Spider-Man. Spider-Man, they're so dumb. And then in this, they're dumb as hell.
Yeah. They're kind of like a comedy.
Yeah.
Comedy mafia. Yeah.
And they're somehow, they're Fisks.
Yeah.
Can we say that?
Well, in the comics, they are, right? Yeah, well, yeah.
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 Kingpin's in the comics, like he controls everything in terms of.
In New York, anyway. In New York, like, yeah.
You might have to get rid of this.
Anyway, continue with.
Story. Yeah.
Continue with positives and negatives. You can go next. Positives.
I'll go next. I've thought about stuff now. Okay, fine. You go.
You chose to go last.
So. Did I? No, I'm going next. Going last.
We're going to skip you. Are we just doing positives?
We'll start with positives. Yeah,
I think I agree. I really like. I always enjoy Christmas in New York. So, just like actually being Christmas in New York, but just the whole vibe around it. So I really enjoy the series. Yeah, I definitely think that you had a proper deep kind of connection to the character of Hawkeye, and it's I guess really important to understand what it's like being a normal person going through whatever they went through. Obviously, the whole of Endgame was a. They start off the movie with the impact that it had on him, and so they don't forget about it. Yeah, a really good introduction to Kate Bishop. I thought it was quite well balanced because there's two main characters, and I feel like they did enough justice to both characters.
Yeah.
It wasn't like they missed out on one, and it references a storyline that's really good. Just thought overall it was just very wholesome and entertaining. Just good story. I enjoyed it.
I'm going next. I've got the soundboard. I'm going to stop recording if I don't go next. See, the crowd wants me.
That was a total accident.
Okay. You can go next if you want.
No, you go.
Yeah.
After all of that.
Yeah, I think a lot of what you guys said is right, and they did an overstretch with the show as well. It is more of a low-key kind of straight-level show, but with it, Hawkeye, that's kind of what you want to do. You don't want it to be world-ending or anything like that.
Mm.
So they definitely chose the right kind of story to concentrate on Hawkeye and keep it
low-key.
Yeah. I liked it. Good joke. And they kept the emotion of the whole saga in it as well. But it is Hawkeye and the character's a bit stupid, so they don't shy away from the comedy side of it as well, which is good. And Jeremy Renner does really well. But I think the highlight of the show for me was Hayley Steinfeld, who is really good in this. And I really like her. I liked her in basically everything she's ever done. So, yeah, I think it was great casting.
I think she's really good. I actually think this standout's Jeremy Renner.
Jeremy Renner's great in this, yeah.
I think he's a standout.
I think if I was going to put it one way, it's like Jeremy Renner brings the gravity to the performance.
Yeah.
And Hayley Steinfeld brings like the brevity and the lightness. All the comic kind of
her comedic timing is great. Yeah.
Gravity and levity. We had a good thing going there. Yeah.
I agree with that.
By not saying it. It's a brevity.
It's a brevity. My vocabulary shit.
Gravity and anti-gravity.
Spider-Man.
That's a reference no one's going to understand, but we're going to continue.
The guy who made the joke didn't even understand.
Anything else from you?
No.
Yeah, so I agree. I think Hayley Steinfeld was really good, and Jeremy Renner was also equally. I think they were equally really good. I think, like I said, Jeremy Renner brings more of the drama. I think Hayley Steinfeld, she also has like a bit of a complicated backstory as well, but she brings a bit more of the comedy. I liked that they were only 6 episodes, and they're all sort of well-paced. I can't think of any episodes that were redundant. Like, I think all of them were quite necessary.
There's no filler episodes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I like the "I'll be home for Christmas" type backdrop.
I think we all, maybe not basketball, but maybe you as well. We all love Christmas stuff, like Christmas content.
Just doesn't mention it, doesn't mean I hate it.
I just wasn't sure.
It's definitely good. The festive season and all that. It's like until the plot line comes where I need to be home by Christmas. Until it was introduced, it was like I wasn't actually cheering him on until he said that. It's like I really do hope he gets home.
Mm. Yeah, yeah. It's like, and it's not like it's in a Christmas backdrop, but it's not a Christmas show as such. Like stuff's happening and it's Christmas time. So,
but you would say it's a if Die Hard's a Christmas movie, this is a Christmas show.
Yeah, definitely.
If Home Alone 2 was a Christmas movie in the sense of, well, what he was, where he was and that kind of stuff, I'd say it's got a similar vibe.
And lastly, you mentioned this as well. So it's not trying to be ambitious. There's been other shows that have come out this year from Marvel that have been pretty like cosmic level, like big, tackling sort of big issues in the universe. This was very sort of simple. They kept it very simple, ground level, just dealt with the characters, did something. And yeah, I kind of appreciated that because we've been through a lot's happened this year, which have been like world breaking sort of stuff. So this was just nice to have just a simple story that you can follow. We can jump into negatives. So I did have a couple. I thought, and we sort of mentioned this, you just mentioned it. So tracksuit guys, they're like comical. They're like comical villains. But when you find out who they're working for and like the overarching sort of mafia that resides in New York, you're like, will these guys actually be working for this guy? They seem a little bit too comical, and they just seem like idiots. So that's one thing that, I mean, it's not a big deal, but it was, and they added a bit of comedy to the show, but it was kind of like they probably should have had like actual serious villains as well. The mysteries, there's a couple of mysteries that they tackle in the show. So one is regarding Kate Bishop's mother's fiance. I thought that was like not really a mystery. Like you knew something was going on with that, and they were like telegraphing something so clearly that it wasn't going to be that, I just thought. And the other mystery was, we haven't even actually mentioned this, but Maya, who's another character.
Also great. Yeah.
Yeah. She was also really good in the show. She has a bit of a backstory as well. And there's like there's an episode dedicated to her, and there's this mystery around who her uncle is. And I think most people,
in the show, it wasn't.
I don't think it was a mystery. I don't think they put that intended to be a mystery. I think it was like an Easter egg early on to be like, for the people that knew, they'll be like, oh, that's
him. Yeah, it's probably him. But and for the people who didn't know,
They wouldn't care.
It was an uncle.
And he's just supposed to be.
So it's in that scene in the fourth episode where you don't see anything except for just someone coming up to her. And it's like, if you know. It's like, oh, yeah, I know who that is.
It's when she's a kid and
She's done with the wrestling match and her father comes, says good job, steps aside, then this other man comes and just pinches her cheek.
Oh, right.
Yeah.
Gotcha. Yeah.
Oh.
But I don't think that was a real mystery. I think the disappointing mystery in the end was there's a mystery surrounding this watch, which gets kind of resolved at the end, and it's just nothing, really.
Is it not?
It's something, but it's also... It's
something that doesn't matter.
Yeah, it's something not really.
that doesn't.
And some of the characters who they introduce sort of later in the series, you don't spend enough time with. But it's fair enough, but there's some dramatic moments, especially in the finale, where it would have helped if you spent a bit more time with those characters. Mm. But that's all I had in terms of negatives.
I feel like Maya's character was good at the start and then it kind of dripped
out. Kind of just disappears for a bit, right? Like
I feel like it was kind of the writing went off with her.
Yeah.
Interesting thing about Maya, she's actually deaf
in real life. Yeah.
And also an
and the character.
Paraplegic.
Oh, okay.
Well, not paraplegic, amputee, sorry.
Yeah.
Because in the character has one leg that's...
I don't know.
Yeah.
Oh, is that actually the comic book character?
No, the comic book character does it, but she does in real life.
The comic book character is deaf, though.
Yeah, but she is deaf in real life and also has a prosthetic leg. Yeah,
I found the fact that they found a like an age double for her when she was a kid.
That's actually a cousin.
I was going to say, it looked exactly like her, like her features.
It's her cousin, Interesting.
Well, that was well done.
Any other negatives?
I think you're right in terms of Maya's character is not as fleshed out as it could have been, but also
she's getting her own show,
so maybe they didn't want to tread too much water.
Yeah,
before they get to her own show.
I'm not sure I'll be that interested in that show, to be honest.
Yeah,
I think I'll tell you one thing about it, and you'll be like, "I'm on for this." I'll say one thing.
We'll tell you in spoilers, but it's a show called Echo, which they've already announced. It's next year, is it coming out? I think.
I think so.
It's next year.
I got one other negative. It kind of riffs off the positive, saying that yes, it's great that it's a family film, but that does hold it back. I feel like they specifically tried to make a series that would stay inside the PG-13 and like really not push the boundaries that much. And like the last episode had a slight rating bump, but it's like, yes, we get what you're trying to aim for, but it kind of holds back key character elements for some of the characters involved. It's great for people like, you know, Hayley Steinfeld, they can develop their character, but for some of the more later characters introduced, it's like, we were expecting a bit more gravitas for their performance and it didn't come through. And it's like, we understand why. There was something holding it back.
And I think the vision of the show. I think the nature of the Disney owning Marvel situation is that they're only ever going to do PG-13 except for one property, which they said is going to be R-rated.
Deadpool.
Yeah. Yeah. So other than that, I think it's all just going to be PG-13.
Is there anything between PG-13 and R? Like, there's no M category?
Not in America. Not in America. It goes PG-13 to R.
PG-13's M for us here.
Yes.
Okay. So actually, what I meant was the G rating.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Okay, so yeah, a little bit more than. Yeah.
They're swearing in this, weren't they?
Yeah.
Like shit.
Like shit. Yeah. Stuff. Yeah. So that automatically makes it M.
Yeah.
It can't be PG, can it? It can't be.
This one's M. I'm pretty sure this is M.
Yeah.
All the shows have been M. Yeah.
But I feel like in America, it's going to be PG-13.
Yeah, they don't want to push that R rating because you get that age category that isn't allowed to watch it unless they've got it.
Just proves that America's rating system's dog shit.
Yeah,
because you can't go from PG-13 to R. That doesn't make any sense.
Well, just for reference, what was Daredevil rated on Netflix?
R.
That was R. Okay.
Yeah.
Right.
Like for us.
For us, it was MA15+. Everyone, plus.
Yeah, for us, it's MA15+. MA. Plus. Yeah.
Was it R in America?
Yeah.
It would be R. Ah, okay. Yeah.
All right. That's what you mean. Yeah.
Does that mean a lot of action movies are just R straight up, right?
No.
No. Most of them aren't, actually. Most of them are PG-13.
Name an action movie and I'll tell you if it's PG-13 or R.
Die Hard.
That's R. Yeah.
Shang-Chi, I think, would be.
Shang-Chi's PG-13. Yeah. Yeah.
All the MCU are PG-13.
Lots of the 80s action movies are R, like all the Arnold stuff, all the Schwarzenegger stuff. Yeah.
Because of the violence and the swearing, I guess, as well.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And nudity.
Yeah.
But I feel like the categorization there, it's like they basically mesh together the PG-13, the M, MA15+, into one category.
Into one category, yeah.
And for us, it's like Shang-Chi will be M15+. It's not MA. It's not that violent.
No.
And it's like it'd be M just because there's swords.
Yeah.
There's no blood.
There's blood at the end, the last move in Shang-Chi.
Oh, yeah.
Is a lot of stuff.
That's the one that got the rating, yeah.
Cool. So if we don't have anything else spoiler-free, we can jump into spoilers. But before we do that, so we'll do our ratings and then we'll do our rankings compared to the other Disney Plus shows.
Oh, yeah.
This year.
So if,
I've got a rating. I'll go first.
Okay, go.
I'm going to give it a Merry Christmas. Take that how you will.
This guy's been on some new shit.
I'll give it a
cognitive. That's my official rating. I'm not changing.
I don't even know what that means,
Happy Diwali.
I give it a cognitive recalibration. I think it's definitely worth a watch.
I give it a 7 out of 10 reindeers. It's
a Christmas theme.
You just made reindeers.
How many reindeers does Santa have? 10, right?
8.
I don't know. It's an odd number.
Oh, yeah, because Rudolph's the... I think it's 7 or 9 then.
Yeah.
7 or 9. Let's assume it's 9. I give it 7 out of 9 reindeer.
I think it's actually 7. 9 seems like too much.
Yeah. I actually just watched the Santa Claus recently, but I can't remember how many reindeer he has.
Well, anyway, Basket gives it 2 less reindeers than the maximum.
Yeah, that's it.
Percentage is not going to be consistent. I'll be like 5 out of 7. There's only 3. 1 out of 3.
1 out of 3.
Yeah.
I don't know. I'll give it like, I reckon I'll give it 8 out of 10.
Yeah.
Yeah, I reckon 8 out of 10.
Mm.
All right, ranking.
Ranking.
I'll go first.
Yeah.
So this is my favorite one.
Okay.
Yeah, so I'm going Loki first. Oh, sorry, this first.
This is my favorite one. Loki first.
This one, Loki. Are we including What If?
Yes.
Are we?
Yes. So this one, Loki, What If, WandaVision,
Falcon
and the Winter Soldier. Yeah.
Do you want me to go next?
Yes.
Okay.
I go Loki first. Then WandaVision, then Hawkeye. Hawkeye, What If's sort of equal. I would put them on sort of equal level. And then Falcon and Winter Soldier.
That's interesting. Okay. So my ranking would be Loki first. That's clear frontrunner. Second for me would actually be a tie between WandaVision and Falcon and Winter Soldier. I put those in the same level. And then What If, and I would... I feel like... For me, this is not as strong as the others. In terms of the narrative. So I'm going to put it below What If.
Interesting. I would say Hawkeye number one because I feel like everything they tried to do in this, they nailed really well. Important parts they nailed well. And,
they, and there's no filler episodes like in Loki. There's definitely filler episodes in Loki.
I just don't think.
Oh my God. The king of filler episodes is fucking the piece of shit that was WandaVision.
Yeah.
WandaVision, I actually think WandaVision was the worst show this year. I would say Hawkeye first, then Loki and What If together. I think it's, What If is a bit of a cheat because like it's animation. You can do a lot of things with animation.
And so What If had some episodes that weren't that good. But it had some episodes that were really good, so it's hard to rate it. It's a very polarizing.
A Killmonger episode was boring as fuck.
Yeah. That is actually a good point. I'm actually going to adjust my ratings. I'm going to put Hawkeye above What If just because I realized that when I was watching What If, I actually wasn't motivated to watch the episodes.
So you'd watch it.
Yeah. I had to sit down and actually watch them through until I got to the last few. And
some of them were really good, and you're like, "This is great," and then some of them you're like. This didn't hit the mark this week.
Hawkeye, I actually cared about the story in certain elements. So I watched it like, I want to know what happens next. So, I'll amend my rating. That goes second last.
So I'll go Hawkeye. Loki, then maybe What If. But What If is cheating, so I'll get rid of What If. And then Falcon Winter Soldier, and then
WandaVision. Yeah, I think everyone has sort of different opinion. I think
for me, narratively, Falcon and the Winter Soldier was by far the weakest.
Yeah.
Yeah. And WandaVision close second to that, yeah.
I think none of them are – obviously, we all have different rankings. Yeah. So, none of them are like home runs. Like, no one absolutely –
Personally, for me, I think Hawkeye's the closest they've got to a home run yet. But obviously, you two don't think that, but yeah.
Yeah, I think so. Yeah. It's like they did what they had to do. There's not much you can do with Hawkeye. And I feel like they introduced the character. They spoke about important things with the character that were introduced throughout the movies and focused on deep kind of character things as well. And it was very interesting to watch. And his bloody New York and Christmas is like, what else you fucking ask for? Yeah.
Like, there's not many things that they...
WandaVision was a fucking shit. In hindsight, I'm like, oh my God, what was that show? I thought it was just a waste of time.
I think it was smart that they put that up first because it was such a what the fuck experience. Like the majority of what WandaVision was that, like, you know, going on Reddit, going on like forums and seeing people making theories.
Mephisto,
like even before Mephisto, like hex. What did the hexagon mean?
Yeah,
does that mean 666? Is that like Satan? Is that this? Literally like so many theories came out of it because there was nothing to go off. Everyone was starving for like information. That made it really enjoyable. The experience.
I thought
it was
just taking the piss. I thought the whole show was just taking the piss. Like. There's things in that show that still just don't make sense. Like, there's things, I don't know.
Yeah.
And like, I don't know, you make some real impactful thing about Endgame essentially ending, what's his name?
Vision.
Vision. And then you just bring him back in a TV show and say, oh no, guess what? You can make white. Him. You can make him. Yeah. He's white. There's two different ones. You can make him whatever. It's like, you need some, you're losing the gravity of like certain events that happened prior, and so I'm like,
although credit to WandaVision, I think it's the first record of having a multiversal character appear in the form of Quicksilver.
Although it wasn't really,
like, technically, I think the
strength of WandaVision, which
I think they're taking the better, piss, essentially.
The thing that puts it above the other shows in terms of none of the other shows did is the kind of psychological torment that Wanda's going through in her kind of rehabilitation from that.
I think they could have done a much better job doing that, to be honest. I feel like that you kind of, I think everyone got it. I think everyone quickly got, they understood what was going on. I don't think they even nailed that, to be honest. I reckon they could have done much better.
Yeah, I agree that it's not the best show. Yeah.
I actually think that the psychological torture that they spoke about with Winter Soldier was much better in Falcon Winter Soldier because of like the constant regret and the issues he was having throughout. And the motivation as to why his character was so against like his whole super serum stuff and why he was against the other character. I thought that was far more appealing. I think also they could have done more things in that show to just make it a little bit better as well.
Falcon and the Winter Soldier definitely felt flat for me.
It dampened a lot.
Especially at the last episode that I was just like, this is real flat. Yeah.
Yeah.
But I think that show would have been better as a movie because there was like filler in that. And the movie we just watched a couple of months ago, Eternals, that is probably better as a TV show because there's so many characters in Eternals that would have worked better as a TV show.
Yeah. Possibly, yeah.
But I don't dislike any of these shows. I like all of them. It's just that,
rankings.
I don't think I would rewatch any of them either. I think the one I'd most likely go to a rewatch is this one.
I might watch Loki again just because of the concepts that they address in Loki are pretty.
Yeah.
I still don't even, still not even sure if, I still reckon there are some flaws, or maybe I just don't, that the law hasn't been explained yet.
Yeah. But
I still reckon there are some things that they're talking about in that show that are so beyond, like, maybe even approachable. Like, in real life, you kind of get your head around, like, some of the concepts that they're talking about, yeah. which is, but it's kind of cool. That's why it's also cool.
But we'll have to see how entangled these shows are with the movies, because we saw a trailer for Doctor Strange 2, and they literally just pass over WandaVision in one line. And she's like, well, I'm not here to talk about Westview, and that was it. That's probably all they're going to address. Yeah.
In terms of WandaVision. It's also self-containing, sort of.
Yeah, yeah. I think they're all very self-containing. So you can.
Although Loki, it seems like that Loki's kind not, of.
It can't be.
Yeah, it has to be.
That becomes self-contained. That's such bullshit.
Well, yeah. It technically is self-contained in the level it's at. Like, it's at such a significant, like, completely multiversal level. It's like, well, if you're only worried about what's happening in Hell's Kitchen, that doesn't affect you. It could, but it's just like, that's there.
That level. I'm really hoping that Doctor Strange's movie touches upon.
I think it does, because Loki is in it, so I think it does.
Yeah.
Which Loki?
We don't know, but Tom Hiddleston is in it. But obviously, Falcon and the Winter Soldier, at the end of Endgame, you know that Falcon gets a shield. So if you hadn't watched that series, in the next movie, he's going to be Captain America. So it doesn't really matter. Like, you could have just skipped that whole thing, and I don't think it makes a difference.
It's just character development.
Just a bit of.
Yeah. Wait, say that again. Yeah. What did you say?
So at the end of Endgame, he gets the shield.
Yeah.
Right? So you think that he's going to be the next Captain America at the end of Endgame already.
Yeah.
So if you skip the whole show, he's Captain America anyway at the end of that show.
Sure.
Like you could technically write off the TV series and then have
just go straight to the next movie, and it wouldn't.
Yeah, you can. But it's character. Yeah. I think it's with all of these, it's just character development. Yeah. You could skip this Hawkeye show and then go to the next movie, and he's just got an apprentice called Kate Bishop.
Yeah,
but
yeah,
it's character development. Yeah.
But yeah, I think Loki is something.
Partners.
That's actually one of the reasons why I'm a little bit more nuanced in the ranking, is because I actually have no idea as to Hawkeye's backstory, like, as comic book wise.
Neither.
So it's like my first time.
I don't know anything about any comics.
Literally just Avengers, and it's just like, I don't know his actual, like, you know, growing up, you hear about, you hear about Thor's backstory, you might hear about Tony Stark's backstory, but you don't know. I never knew what Hawkeye went through or what his story was after Avengers, so. It's a new
experience. I think it's what they've done in the movies is pretty accurate to what Hawkeye is. He's essentially a S.H.I.E.L.D. agent that is in over his head and kind of gets him with these superheroes.
What was the name of the comic?
My Life is a Weapon.
Yeah, it's basically that. Yeah. All right, we can jump into spoilers because I think we've sort of covered everything we can non-spoiler. So if you haven't seen Hawkeye and you care about spoilers, go watch it. Come back to this point. We'll listen to it.
I'll just say a small non-spoiler thing, and then we can talk about that in spoilers. Okay. But there's a duo in this that riff off each other real well.
Duo?
Yeah, there's a duo. And when they finally make that team up that they're going to do, it's going to be amazing.
Yeah.
I'm not sure. All right. We'll talk about that very shortly. So,
I don't know what you're talking about.
You'll find out. go watch the series, come back and listen to our spoilers.
When you're ready to pop the question, the last thing you want to do is second guess the ring. At BlueNile.com, you can design a one-of-a-kind ring with the ease and convenience of shopping online. Choose your diamond and setting. When you find the one, you'll get it delivered right to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off your purchase. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom, like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, how to get 30, how to get 20, 20, 20, how to get 20, 20, how to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hey there, it's Michelle Norris. I'm host of a podcast called Your Mama's Kitchen. When I travel, I'm usually looking for a way to find a taste of home when I'm not at home. And one of the things I love to do when I am at home is entertain. And Airbnb allows me to do that. When I was in California recently, I rented a house that had a great kitchen. And when we were sitting around the table, we're all thinking, we're in someone else's house. Someone could be in all of our homes as well. If you have a home, but you're not always at home, you have an Airbnb. Your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host.
So you're talking about Yelena
and Kate Bishop. Yeah. So everyone on the internet's absolutely frothing this partnership. Yeah, they're loving it. Yeah.
I reckon
so it's essentially the new Black Widow and the new Hawkeye.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah,
yeah, I guess so.
Really good buddy cop vibes. Like one's obviously the more cool collected one. One's like the hot-headed kind of rash, like just do whatever comes to mind thing.
And they both have their own style of humor. Like they're both actually funny characters, but in their own way.
I enjoyed their dynamic. And I think they're probably pushing towards a kind of young Avengers team.
Yeah, we've been talking about this for a while. Yeah. So, yeah, obviously these two would be in it. Although Yelena's not really...
I don't think Yelena would be in the Young Avengers team, but she would be like
she'd be part of it. Blipped.
So she's younger than
They do say how old Kate Bishop's 22 in this. I wouldn't say Yelena's that much older than that. Maybe like 25 or something.
I feel like if they ever do make Young Avengers, they won't call it Young Avengers. They'll just call it the New Avengers, and it'll just seem like a fresh faced group of newcomers.
Yeah.
So who else do you think would be
in the team?
Yeah.
So in the new Ant-Man and Wasp Ant-Man movie, there's going to be Stature.
Yeah.
And I think she'll definitely be in it. Possibly Spider-Man. I think he would be a good addition, but I don't know if they're going to do that.
He'd be more like the leader of them, right? Because he's got a lot of experience. Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah.
But he might be too experienced if they're trying to go like this ragtag group of team, like this ragtag group that doesn't know that much.
Yeah.
Spider-Man might be like...
But they could use him to... guide them. Like, he could be, like, the mentor role.
Yeah,
maybe. Could. Yeah. I mean, are we allowed to talk No Way Home spoilers here?
Yeah, because it's... So, spoilers for everything Marvel from now on.
Marvel. Yeah. All right, you've been warned. in the final act of No Way Home, he was actually the leader. He was, like, saying... Like, he was bragging about being a part of a team, but the other two were like, all right, you call the shots.
Yeah.
So, he actually took time to lead them and say, all right, 2, 3, go now. So, it shows he is starting to get that leadership quality into him.
Yeah.
So, it wouldn't be too bad.
He definitely could be in it.
Yeah.
I would say he's a maybe, though. I think that
he would definitely be in it, but there's all this Sony stuff.
So yeah, they're actually doing a new Avengers.
I think that's Young what Avengers. They're building up really? To. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
It hasn't been confirmed. Like, nothing on the...
But the characters... They haven't even done, like... The Avengers haven't even gone past phase three yet. There hasn't been, after Endgame, we haven't even got Avengers again.
Yeah. I don't think it'll be there for a while.
But when we do get an Avengers, it won't be them. It won't be them.
I think they'll do an Avengers movie, but they'll also do a Young Avengers movie, smaller storyline where they're fighting a not as great threat.
Hmm.
The Avengers movie will be a bigger threat where they're fighting someone huge.
Yeah.
But this Young Avengers movie will be like a smaller threat. Yeah.
And we've discussed this before, but there's this ground level stuff that's happening. So Hawkeye, Falcon and Winter Soldier, they're more like Earth level stuff.
Yeah.
And then there's all this cosmic stuff, which is low-key.
So the cosmic stuff will probably be dealt with by the actual Avengers.
Yeah.
And the ground level stuff will be dealt with maybe by a Young Avengers team.
Yes.
Oh, man, that'd be sick. Yeah. If you have the Avengers, like, going through multiverses and stuff, that would be mental. That'd be crazy.
That'd be amazing.
You got a glimpse of it with Endgame if you start thinking of, like, time theory and everything and you consider it a multiverse, then.
Yeah.
But it'll be very cool. I don't know if it'll happen, though, but hopefully it does.
Yeah. And
who else?
Ms. Marvel?
Yeah, so Ms. Marvel will 100% be in it. She's probably going to be the youngest member, I would say.
Yeah.
Maybe Wiccan.
What's the deal with her character? Like, who is she supposed to be? And
she's a Pakistani-American girl.
Yes.
Yeah.
Can you explain anything else?
She's in the comics.
That's a superpower.
She's a Paki.
That's it, man. That's it.
She doesn't have powers or anything.
Just found her when they waged that war and that was it.
In the comics, she's an inhuman. which I don't know if they'll carry that over into them.
Do that.
Yeah. So, yeah, she's got like Mr. Fantastic kind of powers.
She can.
What does that mean?
She's like elastic. She can stretch.
Elastigirl.
Basically, Elastigirl.
Yeah.
I kind of forgot how she acquires her powers, but yeah, she idolized
Captain Marvel.
Captain Marvel, so she calls herself Ms. Marvel.
Yeah, in the comic, she gets her powers through the, what are they called? The carbon crystals or whatever.
Something crystals. the ones they have on the moon, right?
Yeah, those crystals, yeah.
Well, she eats it.
Nah, like got powder or shit.
If you like inhale it.
She snorts it. Yeah. So she gets Coke. She gets Coke and then she,
So there's a show with her coming next year.
And I think Wiccan and his brother might be in it. I forget his name.
Wanda's kids.
Yeah. And I think they'll age them up.
Yeah. Oh, that'd be amazing.
Yeah. That they're aged up.
Just to see them alive again.
I think that would probably be the Young Avengers team. Who knows?
Yeah. Oh, yeah, of course, by the way, you get to play as Kamala Khan in the Avengers game. She's like the central character.
Yeah. So she's like one of the main characters, isn't she?
Everything's from her narrative. Yeah. So it's like, it's pretty cool. So it's a good lineup.
So we can jump into some detailed spoilers. Like, we don't have to go like beat by beat, just anything that comes up. So first episode's more about Kate Bishop, right? And then Hawkeye just comes at the end. Well, he's in the city and he ends up seeing her in a Ronin suit and then he confronts her. So they set up this mystery with her mother's fiancé. What's his name? Jack?
Jack Duquesne.
Jack.
Armand Duquesne, his uncle, gets killed in the first episode. Everyone suspects
it. At an auction for...
illegal goods.
Yeah.
Yeah. NFTs.
So it turns out that Jack... So they obviously throughout this show, they kind of... They're telegraphing that he is bad.
And he is a comic character.
Okay.
Called the Swordsman.
All right.
Yeah.
Because he's... Okay, yeah.
Because he has a sword.
He's not a big comic character. He's just... Yeah, he's just a guy. Yep.
So he turns out to not be bad. So it's actually her mother the whole time. What's her name? Eleanor?
Eleanor. Yeah. People are theorizing could be Madame Mask, who is in the... comic, My Life is a Weapon.
So I don't think there was much in the first episode.
No.
Yeah.
Armand dies and then,
and he sends his kids off in the next episode, doesn't he?
Yeah. Actually, in that very first episode, the one part which I kind of really liked is that the opening 5 minutes.
Oh, yes.
You see Kate as a young girl and, like, everything happened. And it's, like, literally they replay the shot from the Avengers where Hawkeye is taking down the Chitauri, flies down to the building. And it's, like, that's, like, you get the sense of the production value.
People online have kind of looked at the scene and then looked at that, and it lines up pretty well. Lines up really well, actually.
It's actually a really good shot. And even just the whole CGI effects, it's like, wow, that's for the first 5 minutes, it kind of gives everyone the feeling, this is serious. This is going to be a good dive into the universe, and they're going to do it well.
And in that sequence, apart from just setting all of that up and setting up that Hawkeye is her like favorite Avenger and all of that, they have a short sequence where you hear the parents speaking. So firstly, you figure out that they're in some sort of financial trouble in the first scene, and that she is much closer to her father than she is to her mother as well. Yep. That's already established in the first scene. Yeah, so that was really well done, actually, that initial
sequence. It also shows how badass Hawkeye is for a guy that doesn't have any powers.
Yeah.
The shit that he was doing in the first Avengers,
yeah,
let alone the rest, but the first Avengers is fucking unreal.
Yeah. And in the last episode, Kate says it's like, seeing you fighting aliens and doing this shit all above your pay grade made me feel like I can do that as well.
Yeah.
Which is why you're a good... This whole story is that Hawkeye feels like he's not worthy and he's a shit bloke essentially. And it's Kate trying to convince him. It's like, no, you're good. You're my role model essentially. He's like, I shouldn't be anyone's role model. And by the end of it, he realizes that he actually does have value essentially.
It took me back to right before Avengers was released. And I remember when the trailers were coming out, everyone was like, had this thing of, okay, I get there's Tony Stark, Iron Man, there's Thor, there's the Hulk, Captain America. And I get there's these big hitters. What the fuck are Natasha and what, like, Black Widow and Hawkeye going to do when you have these four literal gods, like, just going around smashing the place? What could these people possibly do? And after the film came out, we were like, okay, these guys are pretty badass. Like, they were holding their own. They took out crazy amounts of enemies, and it's just like the skill was they had to be buffed in the movie And that made him actually look much more respectable. That brought back that feeling, that first scene. It was just like, wow, okay, that's the glory of these guys who don't have superpowers.
It's also that scene in the first Avengers where – oh man, I'm pulling a basket where I call Scarlett Johansson Scarlet Witch. But Black Widow is like when Captain America, when Steve Rogers is like about to jump out the plane, she's like, I don't think you understand. These guys are literally like gods. And he's like, I'm pretty sure that's not. There's only one god, ma'am, and I'm pretty sure
it doesn't
that's not
look like that.
Yeah, and I'm like, and like that's the also because you haven't been properly. You hadn't an origins movie to Captain America, which was. Which not only was very boring and shit, but also his powers hadn't – they didn't even probably show his powers yet.
Yeah.
So you thought he was just jumping into this fight with nothing. That's essentially what, you know, Hawkeye and Natasha end up being. Yeah. But the things that they're able to pull off during these movies and obviously having them paired up with, in Endgame, it's good. Also the fact that of all the things that Hawkeye did, he beats himself up about essentially a period where – He was just being really harsh in the punishments he dealt rather than being – he wasn't a straight-up – like he wasn't a serial killer. He was just handing out really swift justice, maybe over-the-top justice to people who are already doing bad things, right? That's at least the implication that you got from Endgame. Mm. And I think it was really good that this series was talking about how people are bloody complex. The impact that Hawkeye's clearly had on the world is that he's essentially created another superhero, which is going to be Kate Bishop, and he might have made some mistakes as well. But we haven't yet seen another superhero being made. Leave Spider-Man alone, but even that, like I think this is the first time where one of the Avengers or one of the superheroes that we know of in this MCU has actually inspired another, fully inspired.
Yeah, definitely.
It's the one without any powers. That's pretty good.
That's good. Yeah,
inspiring.
Yeah. It is. It gives inspiration. This show does. Yeah definitely.
I thought his entrance in the first episode was badass as well.
What was the entrance?
It's like right at the end when.
Oh, when he pulls off the mask.
He enters the fight. It's like, okay, now we're in business. And it's like, you know, you're like, all right, sick. This is going to be good fun.
Yeah. No, it was a good episode. And they actually released two episodes at once, didn't they?
They did. Yeah.
Yeah. Yep. So in the next episode, they go back to her apartment. And the dog
is also in My Life as a Weapon. Yep.
Yes.
So it has to be. Yes. Yeah. Why the fuck will they have a one-eyed dog in this TV?
Very cute dog with one eye called Lucky.
Or Pizza Dog as well.
It's called Lucky, but they're thinking of names, aren't they? Yeah. Yeah. He likes to eat pizza. Yes. Are dogs allowed to eat pizza?
Not if they have onions, so this dog's going to die soon. Must just be pepperoni or margarita or something.
Yeah.
So in the second one, they confront the mafia, so the tracksuit mafia, figure out where they are, and there's a bit of an action sequence in the apartment. And then what happens at the end of this one? They just they get captured, don't they? Is it at the end of this one when they get captured? So. Yeah, and they introduce Echo. Right at the end.
Yep.
Is that her name?
Yes.
Her name's Echo.
Yes. So her name is Maya.
Maya something. Maya, her actual name
Maya
is Maya
Gomez.
Yes. Let's go with that.
Maya Lopez.
But her comic character name is
super,
Echo.
Superhero name.
Superhero name is Echo.
Echo. And also the name of the show. It is actually Maya
Lopez.
So
what's her power?
She
echolocation.
So she's deaf.
So
her main power is she can replicate anything she sees. So she
like Taskmaster.
She's the Peter Petrelli.
I know who that is
from Heroes.
Oh yeah. Okay.
Wait,
yeah.
What do you mean replicate anything she can?
So if she sees
she's a copycat.
Yeah. If she sees someone do kung fu, then she'll be able to do kung fu.
And they kind of establish that when she's a kid as well, because she watches the guy take down. She's watching two other kids fight.
Oh, I didn't get that.
Yeah,
I didn't get that either.
And
that was a reference, apparently.
And he does the exact move that she ends up doing on him.
Mm. Interesting.
Yeah.
Okay. That's cool.
Yeah.
Is it a permanent thing, or is it just during that situation that she can copy?
I think it's a permanent thing. Like she learns the.
That's pretty
she
OP.
Learns the task. Yeah.
What happens if it? I presume it. It's not if it involves a superpower.
No, she can't learn to pick up cards.
She's holding up the hammer and going, oh. It's like, all right, well, I might as well do that as well.
It's pretty close to like Ditto's move, like Mimic. Yeah, I mean, just like, well, that's what
Peter Petrelli from Heroes was really well written, because he was a character that was always the underdog, but then he has the most amazing power ever. But he didn't discover it until like the very end, and becomes this like the savior of heroes, and that's why he's like everyone's favorite character. But yeah, but his power is not just physical copycat. He copies powers, and that's why it's like such a dope show. Yeah. It does not age well though, that show. Like, do not watch it. I recently watched it, and like in my head it was like the best show ever. Recently watched it, I was like, oh my God, this is so shit. This is so bad. But it was so good back in the day.
That's
like,
interesting. Then I wonder if they ever do bring over the X-Men, I wonder what happened if she looked at Rogue, and what would happen. Because Rogue absorbs powers by contact.
Nah, but she can't do superpowers, so she can only Rogue she can just yeah. she it's a, yeah. she's an echo. Yeah. She's an echo. So
actually,
whatever she
know.
Sees,
what's Rogue's
she can,
powers. I don't know.
She steals like she. Yeah. Well, she absorbs temporarily.
She can absorb
acquires,
other people's
yeah.
powers.
Yeah.
By touch.
By touching them. So that's why she
gets
can't touch
rid
anyone.
Of their powers.
No.
No. When she does absorb their power, they do lose it for a little
temporarily.
Bit. Like,
yeah,
temporarily.
Yeah.
They. Yeah.
And then she can use those powers as well.
Yes.
Yeah.
But that's why she can't touch anyone, because that's why she always wears gloves.
Yeah, no, that's interesting. Didn't know that, Benico.
Yeah, and her name is Maya Lopez, by the way.
Oh, wow. You got it. Yeah.
Lopez.
It was Maya Lopez.
Okay, so episode 3, that's when Maya interrogates Barton and Bishop, and they escape in the car. So this has a good action sequence. So it's the first time you see some
of the one-shot car.
Yeah, and it's the first time you see some of the trick arrows. And the first time I've only seen this episode once, but I rewinded it to watch this action sequence, because I didn't exactly understand what was going on with the massive arrow that turns up. So it's a pin particle on the
arrow.
Did
you realize that?
Not the first time. Yeah.
What? I don't even remember that scene.
So Kate Bishop shoots up a normal arrow into the air, and then it goes into the air. It's coming down, and then Hawkeye shoots the pin particle arrow,
and it expands.
And it hits the normal arrow and expands it to.
And that's when the massive arrow comes down.
It turns into like an artillery strike.
Yeah, literally. But then, what does the massive arrow actually do?
It blocks the car.
Yeah, yeah. Well, I think it hits the back or something.
It literally hits the back of the car and then disintegrates completely. I thought it was going to like pierce the bridge.
So you're telling
just,
me
be in the middle of the road, but it's like no.
Are you telling me this guy had pin particles?
Yeah.
When they were running out of pin particles in Endgame?
No.
Oh, no,
really? This is post-Endgame.
Yeah.
So
he's stolen
a lot. Hank Pym's back alive. So he's kicking. The problem in Endgame was Hank Pym was dead. Well, not dead. He was disappeared. So no one knew how to make pin particles. But he's back now. So
he's got Hawkeye's got Pym tech, and he's got Stark tech.
He's got Stark
tech
as well. Yeah.
I think that makes sense, because like people trust Hawkeye. You know, like, there's no kind of. Like, you'd be like, if I was to give someone pin particles, I'll give it to this guy because he's an underdog.
And he's not going to be able to, he's not going to know how to use it in a malicious sense either.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Until you discover who he was. Discover he's right and he's destroying everyone.
Except if we need to feed owls, live humans. So.
Yeah. Or, do you know that owl? I didn't know. I'll forget about this if I don't mention it now. Do you know the owl in the last thing? That is a real owl that was stuck in Rockefeller Center's Christmas tree. This is in real life. There was an owl stuck in it and they had to go rescue it.
So that was a reference to that.
Like, yeah, it was a reference to that.
Not in this show.
The owl is a reference to the owl in real life.
In real life.
Yeah.
Because I was wondering, like,
yeah.
Okay, like he ends up in the tree. Like, we're going to the end, but yeah, he ends up in the tree. He sees an owl. I'm like, okay, that's cute. And then the owl comes back and he takes it.
Yeah.
Takes
the man with the shrunken tracksuit. Yeah. And it's like, that's a horrific death. That is like not PG-13.
Yeah.
They
got eaten by an owl, those guys. Yeah.
Guys, man. I just got a notification saying, celebrate Boxing Day with Uber Eats with 26% off pickup orders.
Oh, they can get fucked.
Nah, they would have let you pick it up anyway.
Yeah.
They have rejected every order we gave them in the like past 2 hours, man.
So before recording this episode, we had a bit of a fiasco with Uber Eats. We were trying to get food and then they kept declining us.
This happened multiple times.
You guys aren't trying to get a sponsorship with them, are you?
Well, not now.
Not too late for that.
Yeah, so that's a real owl.
It's a real owl.
Yeah. That was cool. I messaged you later saying the owl is the best character.
After you messaged me that, I saw it online somewhere.
Yeah.
Another really cool point earlier in this episode, I don't know if it's early in this episode or late in last episode, Clint always calls his wife.
Yes.
And discusses like the op beforehand. And it's really awesome to see them talk. Like, she knows what's going on. And they talk in this kind of subtle doublespeak where she kind of advises or what he should do. And he actually takes her advice. He's like, oh, you know, these guys have got my stuff and I'm going to try and get them back. And she's like, oh, you're doing the old seek and find. What did she say? Like
catch and release.
Catch and release.
Yeah.
And stuff. And it's like, you know, they have code names for all of their ops. And it's just like,
yeah,
that's awesome that they have such clear.
That's a reference. The catch and release is a reference to the first Avengers movie where Black Widow does a catch and release with those. It's her introduction scene. She's doing.
With the Russian mob?
Yeah. Yeah. Like they're interrogating her and she's actually interrogating them instead. Yeah.
And it's also in Avengers. What's the second one?
Avengers the second one. Yeah.
The second Avengers.
That's the official name.
Yeah. Avengers the second one. Age of Ultron. Yeah. Age of Ultron. When they go back to his farmhouse and then Tony Stark's like, she's an agent. Like, actually is an agent.
Oh, yeah.
Or does she accuse her of being an agent?
No, it's because, like, they don't know much about
Hawkeye.
It's like
comedy
right?
about the fact that this guy actually has a normal life. Yeah. He's like, nah, this is bullshit. She's an agent.
Yeah.
But I guess it also makes sense as to why she's so accepting of his life. She clearly understands what's going on all the time. And
she's not some ignorant, like, housewife just living in that fantasy of, oh, it's okay, he's got a day job and he'll come back. And she knows everything.
Yeah, and he calls her throughout the show, actually. And there's also one point where they speak in
German.
German. Like German? German.
It's German, yeah.
Is it because her kids were there?
Because she's actually a Nazi.
yeah, I think Hale, she's just Hale trying Hydra. To, she's just trying she's to the disguise the Rock. Combo.
It's when she talks about the watch, right?
Yeah, so the watch.
She goes German when we talk about the watch.
So she's in the end, 19. You find out she's a. Yeah, she's Agent 19.
I had to look that up. I didn't understand what that meant.
Yeah, which is. It. Big revelation is Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. isn't canon because Agent 19 is Mockingbird, and there was a Mockingbird in Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. Mm. So it can't be canon.
Was she really young in that?
It's a different actress.
But.
And she's young. Yeah.
But couldn't Linda Cardellini just be her
age? Probably not, because Phil Coulson's in that show.
Because first off, that happens concurrently with Age of Ultron, and Mockingbird doesn't have kids, and they never talk to each other. Okay. So,
yeah.
It could possibly still be canon in terms of Linda Cardellini was Mockingbird. Yeah. And then she retires and then they get another Mockingbird.
Like, yeah, it could be.
And then, she's like the Mockingbird 2 or something. Yeah, essentially she's Mockingbird.
At the end of the third episode, they break into the Bishop house and they are confronted by Jack. Well, Hawkeye is. And that's where it cuts. And then in the next episode, they end up speaking to Eleanor and Jack. And Eleanor basically tells Hawkeye not to put her daughter in danger, and he assures her, and then he leaves. And then is this the episode where he goes to the LARPing thing, or was that the previous episode?
Nah, it's a previous episode. Yeah. The first LARPing one's actually in the second episode.
Yeah.
When he goes to get the running suit.
Yeah. But then Kate goes there now, I think.
Yeah, Kate goes to LARPers afterwards.
Oh, yeah, that was one element of the story that completely lost me. He says, I have to retrieve my arrows. And I'm like, when did he lose him? Did he lose him in the apartment when the fire came?
It must be in the apartment. Yeah.
I think so.
Yeah.
Because at that point, it's like, it's never mentioned that, oh, someone took my arrows, someone took my suit. It was only the suit that was taken.
Yeah.
And I think his arrows weren't referenced at all. And I'm like, why is she going to the LARPer guys to get the arrows? It just completely blew my mind.
He must have left it in the apartment. And then when they came to, clear out the apartment, they took them.
Yeah. Okay.
The LARPers are pretty funny.
Well, I didn't.
Interesting group of people.
It's funny that they showed them that they're overly committed to their role, and it's just like that was hilarious.
I just thought in the end when it was fine, but like they come out dressed again and they do exactly the same thing that they were doing before, but somehow it works because they're dressed.
Yeah, what was that meant to be like? Oh, now people are paying attention to them. Like, they're not just mixed belt to the crowd.
Yeah,
if they were like hitting people with swords and telling them like, get in line. Well, that makes sense.
Yeah,
just beheading everyone that doesn't follow their rules, including women and children.
Pain is the best teacher.
So in episode 4, I think that's when Yelena is introduced towards the end.
Introduced when they go to Maya's apartment, and then. Maya's fighting Kate Bishop and Yelena's fighting Hawkeye.
And that episode ends with Yelena escaping. Well, she leaves. And then
Hawkeye's like, I don't want to teach you anymore.
Yeah.
Because.
Go away.
Go away.
Yeah.
Because there's now a Black Widow on this.
Yep.
That yes. series. Yeah.
Yeah.
How does he know that it's a Black Widow? Is it from the bracelets?
Bracelets. I think so. Yeah.
And
yeah.
She does like.
She does
like
the move, doesn't the
red
she?
No, she like freezes one of them with these red things.
Oh, yeah. From a bracelet. Yeah.
I think it's all from that. Yeah.
I think she does the move as well, doesn't she?
She does the move on Hawkeye, I think.
She does it on someone. Yeah.
Oh, the jiu-jitsu move.
The one where. Like put their legs around the head and like flip them.
I think Maya would be super confused at the moment because she's like,
"What the fuck's going on?"
She is right by the end. She is confused. I think she is.
Yeah,
she just bails because she's like, "I don't know what's going on."
Yeah,
but I'm gonna try that move first. Let
me have a look at that move first.
Go practice it.
I'm gonna go jump off this building and do a Spider-Man.
Yeah, and then. I think episode 5 is when it's at the end of episode 5 when you find out that Eleanor's been a bit dodgy. She's
So episode 5 is where Yelena and Kate Bishop have a big they have a big combo with each other
conversation. Yep. Yeah,
is
yep.
it the episode that starts off like with her
with Yelena
in the apartment
trying to undo the Black Widow serum on her friends?
Yes.
Yep.
Yep. Yeah. Yeah. It starts with
intense.
Yelena.
That was intense.
And then she goes into the washroom and she comes back and 5 years, but this. The same lady's still living in that house.
Oh, she blips and deblips. That's the first time we see through someone's perspective what it's like to
be
go out and come
then.
Back in their time.
Immediately. Yep. Yeah,
that's such a
mindfuck. Yeah.
It's just like 5 years goes by.
Because in WandaVision they did coming back, but not
it's
not getting blipped.
Cool when you see her washing her hand and then she comes back and the wall color is like
all
changing.
Different. Yeah, it's They also repainted the house.
Yeah. Yeah.
And like the lady that they end up like confronting.
She wasn't under the black.
Yeah, she wasn't.
She was just an asshole.
Yeah, yeah. So clearly from. She's but just, the thing is, Yelena goes under her wing because this chick's a gun for hire. The person.
Yeah.
So she's just killing people that hire her to, and obviously that's what Yelena's doing now as well because she gets the contract to kill Hawkeye.
Yeah.
So she's a gun for hire at the moment, essentially.
Yes.
Yeah.
I think we kind of get, I don't know if this is implied, that she's been hunting for Clint anyway.
Yeah. I think
so it's like a double whammy. She's hunting for him because.
I think she looked for a contract that was specifically aimed at Hawkeye.
I think at the end of Black Widow, that chick, Elaine
Christine.
From. Yeah. From the New Adventures of Old Christine, Seinfeld. Yes.
Yep.
She gives her the contract, doesn't she?
Yes.
Yeah.
Oh, that was her appearance.
Post-credit scene.
Yeah.
Wait, what? Post-credit's Black Widow.
Yeah.
I can't remember seeing that.
What was her name? What's the comic book name of her character? The Seinfeld?
What is she supposed to be?
She's Valentina
Madam,
Rossi.
Madam Hydra.
Valentina Rossi.
Madam Hydra.
Valentina
Rossi.
Motorbike.
Yeah. Her name is Valentina Hydra. She's got
something,
a long name.
Okay. Yeah, so she's the one who...
De Fontaine or something.
I don't understand. Yeah. She keeps rocking up in all these scenes and I don't understand what the hell she is.
She's Madam Hydra.
What does that mean?
She rides motorbikes fast.
I think the best... I think she's a shit stirrer, essentially. She just stirs shit to make, like, incidents happen. Like, basically. Just making shit
But that's
happen.
Where she gets her contract from.
Yes.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. And that's why, she turned up in this show. But then.
But she wants to kill him anyway.
She wants to kill him anyway because she thinks he's responsible for her sister's death. Yeah, and they have a conversation. So her and Kate Bishop have a conversation.
And apparently, she really did eat that mac and cheese.
Like in the shot?
In the shot, she ate that. Yeah.
That's fair enough.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's a lot of mac and cheese.
Have you had mac and cheese with sriracha?
No, but I want to try it now. Yeah.
The Yelena mix.
Yeah.
Let's get some. 26% off Uber Eats. Let's do it.
Yeah, and then at the end of this one, does Kate come back to Hawkeye or no? Not yet.
Yeah, this is at the end of this episode. Yeah. It's a revelation that.
She comes back and then she finds that Eleanor has been doing deals with Kingpin.
What happens is Hawkeye goes to threaten Maya. Because he dresses up as Ronin and goes to threaten Maya. He's like, leave me the fuck alone. And then he's about to. Die, and then Kate Bishop saves him.
And she gets an Uber.
She does. No, it's not an Uber, actually.
It's a Lyft?
It's a Lyft, I think. Yeah. It's a Lyft.
Lyft is bigger than Uber, isn't it?
In America, it is.
In some cities?
Yeah.
Yeah.
And then you find out that Kingpin, so it's firstly, it's Kingpin. That's the first reveal. Second is that it's Vincent.
Why do they call him Kingpin?
So that's his villain name, you could say. Like,
why? What does it mean?
Well, isn't it also just another?
I guess it's just like he's the king. Like he's the last pin.
Reference to bowling at all?
No, because Kingpin's also used like it's used in common parlance to reference like mob bosses.
Yeah,
is it?
Yeah.
And he is the mob boss.
He's the Kingpin. Yeah.
So it's Vincent D'Onofrio, and this episode came out the day before No Way Home came out, and in No Way Home, obviously, we're doing full spoilers here. Daredevil is in No Way Home.
Matt Murdock.
Yeah.
Charlie Cox.
So, in a way, those Netflix shows are kind of canon or not.
We're up to date with Daredevil, but what happens to Fisk after season one?
He goes to jail. Season two, he breaks out. You could tell in jail he's got connections.
Yeah.
And then at the end of season two, he comes out.
He breaks out.
And then season three, which is after Defenders, even during Defenders, I think we see him in Defenders, don't we?
No.
We don't see him in Defenders at all. No. Okay. In season three of Daredevil, he's out. Like, okay.
He's doing his stuff again.
And he's like, he's worse than before, but something needs to be put in place to keep him under control. So, not to spoil season three of Daredevil, you haven't seen it. Like, Matt Murdock, Daredevil finds a way to keep him under control. In a way.
So
he has leverage.
He's playing the same character. I don't know if it's the same universe. And I don't think it's the same universe.
So they probably just brought back the actors, but it's not the same
universe. Because in Daredevil, Kingpin is not this strong. Kingpin's not strong enough that he can get hit by a car and then he just gets up again. Or like the explosion happens and he just gets up again.
He gets shot by an arrow and he's fine.
He's pretty strong though in Daredevil, isn't he?
Okay, so there's one reference scene in the prison. When Frank Castle and him have go at it, the thing with Kingpin is he has greater than average strength, and someone getting hit by a car is not necessarily fair.
But he also rips off a door. He rips off the car door.
Yeah,
I think he's stronger in this than he was in Daredevil.
There's a lot of like, this is what I was talking about when they made a character seem a little bit more like they downplayed the character than they should have. They made him more physically intimidating, but completely stripped him of his like actual, menacing factor. You could say,
yeah,
because there were people.
He's not in enough two minutes of screen time.
2 minutes. Yeah. Even with that short scene, people who haven't seen Daredevil and watch this are like, I totally get why people found Fisk really good villain because he's intimidating as hell when he's speaking to Eleanor. I'm like, dude, watch the fucking TV show. Because he's so much better.
But I don't think they're going to make that. I think they're going to make it high-level canon, like as in some parts of that story did happen. Yeah. But I don't think every single part of that story is going to be canon. Because
so you're like, a different multiverse kind of thing.
Yeah, I think he's like a variant. Yeah. Because some weird shit happens in Defenders and like all that stuff that I don't think they want to go through that in the MCU.
That's interesting. I never thought about it that way. I just thought maybe he got knocked down a peg or two after season three of Daredevil. Now he's working on like real low-level crime, like tracksuit gang. That's why he's there. But yeah.
The theory is that he got blipped after in Endgame. And then when he came back, everyone's taken his position and he's trying to work his way up now.
That's a good theory.
Yeah.
That's a good theory. We don't actually see what happens to him pre-post Endgame. So yeah, obviously.
Also, I didn't know anything about Fisk. Right until, so I watched Daredevil season one. Fisk was they don't emphasize his physical powers as much, right? And then Into the Spider-Verse, he is like menacing, right? Yep. He straight up punches and kills Spider-Man.
Almost super, yeah, basically superhuman. Yeah,
yeah. So you're like, holy shit, and he's like, he's crazy in that. And then also in Spider-Man, he's also bloody strong as well. But you rope him up straight away at the start.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So I didn't know that Fisk, the whole time when I thought of Fisk, I thought of the Daredevil Fisk, which is like really smart mob boss, but not someone who also can like fight for themselves.
Yeah. I think because he's in this universe now with Spider-Man and kind of all these other heroes that are superpowered. If you don't have him,
you need to be like,
yeah, exactly. Yeah.
Or you need to make him an absolute genius, like in the way that he does things.
Yeah.
Yeah. Like what they did to Lex Luthor, but it didn't make sense in Batman vs Superman.
Yeah.
Where he somehow just orchestrates.
Where he's a genius, but it doesn't make sense.
Orchestrates like the craziest fight ever, but
you don't know how he's done it. It's like, oh, yeah, sure. You somehow convinced this guy to fight that guy. I don't know how this has happened.
Yeah.
But it's like, that movie is so
what you said is
stupid.
So true.
It's so fucking stupid, that movie. I watched the reaction to that movie, and at the end they're like, who the fuck is this guy? And they're just pointing to Lex Luthor, and I'm like, that's true. Who the fuck was that guy? Where did he come from? And how did he do this? It doesn't make any sense. Anyway. How do we end up?
But so, anyway, Kingpin's in this.
So what happens at the end of episode 5 is that Hawkeye tells Maya that her boss, being Kingpin, actually ordered her father's death. Is that right?
Yelena sends her a text.
No. He's talking about before that. He's like, he says, he doesn't say directly
he
like
says
that.
Yeah, the big man.
But he was involved.
Yeah, he said that the reason I was there that night was someone tipped me off and someone wanted me to kill those people.
Yeah.
And that someone worked.
Kill who?
Worked for your boss.
Killed Maya's dad. Yeah.
But that's when he directly says that who the person who tipped me directly worked with your boss.
Yeah.
And it's like.
And then Maya kind of realizes that her boyfriend is probably this person. I think it's her boyfriend. Is it her boyfriend?
I didn't get a romantic vibe.
No. Yeah, they are.
I thought I got a romantic vibe.
Yeah.
I thought they were just. Okay.
They're together.
Yeah.
Oh, I had no, I did not get any sort of vibe that they were romantically involved.
I thought they were just.
I thought they kissed at one point.
It's because they're both ugly.
Did they kiss at. They're both ugly.
No, not that. It's just that there was no. They were definitely close, right? He was signing. She was. I thought, are they siblings?
They're together. Are they siblings?
There was no intimacy between them.
I didn't think.
Anyway, she realizes it's him.
Yeah. That's when Bishop gets a text from Yelena with Kingpin. So going into the finale, so firstly, the first scene you get introduced to Kingpin, Vincent D'Onofrio, and then
he's trained all the Velociraptors.
Chris Pratt trains the Velociraptors. He wants to weaponize them.
Yeah.
After he fails to train them.
He's not in the second one, is he?
He dies.
How does he die?
They destroy him.
The Indominus Rex kills him.
Oh, okay.
He's like, I'm on your side. And it kills him.
Okay.
He talks to this dinosaur like if he says he's on his side, the dinosaur's not going to kill him.
Yeah.
The dinosaur doesn't know English.
I love you, beta.
It's another actor I forgot who was in a major film. I didn't realize he was in Jurassic World.
Well, when I saw him in Jurassic World, I was like, holy fuck, this is the guy that was Kingpin. What the fuck?
I really appreciated
like how good the makeup and everything was in Kingpin. Daredevil, sorry.
All right, so they're set up for the climax. So there's a party or something that Eleanor has every year. So they attend that and they know that Eleanor's going to be sort of under attack now as well.
Yeah, so Kingpin, Eleanor wants out of the business with Kingpin and Kingpin's like, no, I'm going to fucking kill you.
Yeah, and it also makes sense because in that very first scene, we know that they're in financial trouble and then you flash forward to the present and they're like, they're pretty wealthy. So something's obviously gone on. And then so Hawkeye and Kate team up and they actually say that they're partners in this. Hawkeye says that they're partners in this episode for the first time, actually, because she's always like, yeah, let's be partners. Like she's the one that's enthusiastic, but this time he's the one that actually says it. Okay. And then there's a big action sequence at the Rockefeller in the ice rig, right?
Yeah.
The Rockefeller Center, which was good. And that's where the owl comes in.
Much smaller, don't you think? The set they had made it look much smaller than that.
I've never been there, so I have no.
Yeah, I've actually never been to this.
What a big place!
I've only been there virtually from the Spider-Man game.
talking about
the
game, it's great.
The amount of goons that came felt like it was like a Spider-Man 4, like
oh, yeah.
Spawn,
yeah.
Like the way when you're doing one, the beast challenge,
it could have been like a game. Yeah.
It actually felt like that there were that many goons. It was just ridiculous.
And it would have been shit if it was just that and they were just shooting arrows, but because they add trick arrows, it makes it interesting. Yeah.
But also, it's definitely tracksuit gang because they're dumb as fuck. All they do is just follow each other to the same stairs. Like, yeah, let's get them, boys.
Yeah.
And this is just this part's just trick arrow fest. Trick arrows everywhere.
Also, why aren't there any female gangsters?
Maya.
Nah, but like just in the gang, it's always just guys. Surely there are some women that need some money that are getting pushed into this sort of life.
I think it's a trope. It's like you always show the low-level goons to be dumb guys. So you don't sympathize with them. They get beat. They get lose an arm. It's like, oh, yeah, it's funny.
get eaten by an owl. Who cares?
I find it funny if women got eaten.
I think the same reason they don't have like children as gang members. Same reason. You'd be like, what the hell? Like, why are you shooting an arrow towards a child?
That's true. It would make it really morally ambiguous, and it would be really cool.
So Yelena is also in search of Hawkeye, so she's trying to get him. And then she comes to a realization while they're fighting that he, like...
I wasn't fully kind of convinced at that realization, but I'm like, it had to get there. So yeah. I'm like, fair enough.
Oh, and Kate and her have a pretty cool fight in between.
Yeah, where they're just talking. Yeah.
And they're in the elevator, and she's just trying to press all the buttons. And
this funny part where... They're in the elevator and she's stopping her. And then at one part, Kate Bishop just slaps him. And she's like, what was that?
Yelena has absolutely no reaction. Just like, you just slap me. And Kate's also like, she's just like, I'm sorry. Like, immediately just steps down. That's why I appreciate the fact that they actually took two people who are both socially kind of awkward.
Yeah.
And put them together.
And you could tell that Yelena could just end her at any point if she really wanted to. But she doesn't want to. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, where they're like, they're pitted against each other, but they don't actually dislike each other.
And they're it was interesting because a lot of people have said this, that, and they kind of share a similar view to you, that Hayley Steinfeld was the best part of this show and Yelena was the best part of the Black Widow movie. Mm. So, like, in the actual Black Widow movie and the Hawkeye show, the main characters weren't the highlight. It was their, like, but sidekicks.
It's the new ones. It's the new Hawkeye and the new Black Widow. It's good for the future, I guess.
Yeah.
I think Florence Pugh needs to work on her accent, though.
I like the accent.
I think it used to be cheesy. It used to be good, and then it kind of started deteriorating. And in this, so it was good in the Black Widow movie. But in this one, I feel like she forgot how to do it.
I think it's a bit cheesy.
It's now turned into this semi-Borat vibe.
Yeah. It kind of is. Definitely not an authentic accent.
When in doubt, accent. Put on Kazakh accent.
Yeah, probably would be Kazakhstan. It's halfway point between what Russia and US are. So.
Right, do you know your geography?
No, it's
Kazakhstan
shit.
Is definitely not the halfway point.
Not even close. Not even close to the halfway point.
The Atlantic Ocean, bro. It's probably going to be somewhere in the ocean, actually.
Oh my God.
Would be closer to like the UK or something, would be closer then. Yeah.
No, there's an ocean that splits them.
Which direction are you going?
The Atlantic, right?
The other way,
yeah.
I was going the other way.
Oh, so it's not the Atlantic, it's the Pacific.
Pacific, yeah. It'd be Pacific the other way.
Pacific.
I was going the other way.
No, that's what they call the mid-Atlantic accent in the US. It's halfway British, halfway US, so it ends up...
Anyway, I don't mind it. It's definitely not authentic. It's not... It's cheesy as hell, but...
That was the only thing that was pissing me off. I'm like... Oh, God, get rid of this accent. You need to pull a Scarlet Witch and just suddenly...
Just reset it.
Start talking American. Her accent was worse, though. Scarlet Witch's accent was terrible. Yeah,
that was bad.
Yeah.
I think that's hard for actors to kind of meld two into one, I guess.
All right, and what happens at the end of this? So they have a fight. Yelena realizes, so they're all good now. And then Eleanor, so it was Eleanor all along, so she gets arrested.
Yep.
Kate has a fight with Kingpin.
Yeah,
which is pretty brutal fight.
Yeah.
Brutal, yeah.
It looked like at any point he could just kill her.
Like, yeah, it was just like chucking her around like she's a dog.
She was way in over her head, and I'm just like,
there's no way you could win this. Like someone's going to come in and save you, but she manages it.
She did it. Oh yeah, and there's a sequence we didn't talk about, but they have like a movie night, Hawkeye and Kate Bishop.
Mm.
Just at home, and there's a bit of character development there, and he teaches her to do that flicking thing.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Which people could actually do, and you go online, some guys are fucking good at it. Like, they have a cup on top of a tower, and they flick it, and they can hit the cup off it. Yeah.
That's nuts.
Yeah.
That's nuts.
Yeah.
Talking about that kind of buddy development scene, that one right before where his son... Clint's son calls him.
Yes. Yeah.
And he doesn't, his hearing aid's busted, so he can't hear.
Yeah.
That was so emotionally tough to watch. And there were so many people on, like, I was reading some of the forums, a lot of people's like, my dad's hearing impaired, and he just bawled watching that scene because it's like, it really hit him hard. And it's just, it's like, he can't understand what his son's saying, but Kate really steps up and writes down and translates. And yeah, just the way he goes about that scene, like, Jeremy Renner's performance is amazing.
Yeah.
Also, I think we need to address this, but what's happened to his hearing? Is this after the explosion in Endgame?
It doesn't say anything in particular.
I think it's just across his career.
Yeah.
So it's just slowly deteriorating.
When he says, is it Kate Bishop? She asks him, what happened to your hearing? And then it goes through this like montage short, of explosions that he's been in.
It's because he's had such an explosive career.
Yeah.
And also, he's one of the mortals, so he probably is more susceptible to
wear and tear. Yeah, that's right. Yeah.
But I actually found that quite jarring. I thought, shit, I don't, maybe did I forget something that happened in Endgame? Like, was it something that...
No, I think they just introduced it in this show.
Did he lose an eardrum with the blip? I don't know, like, you know, it was just... So it was kind of a bit of a, oh crap, what happened? But they did address it in
the episode. And it makes sense. So firstly, he's got that, and then like after each action sequence, he seemed like putting ice on himself, and he's like, he's actually injured and stuff. So he's just a normal guy. He's just a guy.
It's got me thinking. Do you think that they shot some scenes of like Avengers or any of the other movies where he's involved, where he actually couldn't hear what everyone else was saying? He just kind of mumbled some, you know, random stuff to people's responses. Like when they weren't on his left side?
I'm not sure if he had them. He had this defect in the Avengers movies themselves. Like maybe it's a more recent development.
No, you could theorize anything, I guess. Yeah,
I guess. That was a really interesting dynamic to his character. Yeah. And I think it does. This show goes quite a long way to show a lot of differently abled people and how they kind of show that through. They end up being superheroes or really well trained.
That's sort of the end. So they go. Hawkeye takes her back to his home, and they have Christmas. He gets home in time for Christmas, and they end the show with he says they're like discussing names, right? And he's like, "Oh, actually, I have a good idea," and it just flashes Hawkeye, right?
Yeah. So she's like, "Oh, what about Lady Hawk or something like that?" Yeah. He's like, "Actually, I have a good idea," and then
Yeah.
What's it going to be?
Hawkeye.
So I think he's just going to retire.
Yeah.
Oh, really?
She's Hawkeye.
Yeah.
They're both just Hawkeye. Yeah.
Yeah. And then
it's good how it ends the target.
The target?
Yeah.
That kind of started all of the Endgame.
Endgame. Yeah, yeah. That's the one they were
sharing. And all the artwork. So it ends with the target, and the target turns into an actual target. Yeah. All that artwork's directly ripped from the comic, basically.
Yeah.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
It's good. I really like the artwork at the end of each episode.
If you like the artwork, you should read the comic, generally. No. It's a good comic. It's just a show.
Oh, is it?
That's all it is. That's cool. Yeah.
I'm too scared. I really like how I'm discovering new things with each movie and TV show. So I've always been hesitant to read the comics because I just want to discover things.
This is
the MCU.
Nice.
My Life as a Weapon is a fully enclosed comic that doesn't involve anything else.
Yeah, right.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But it's a very cool name, I must say. My Life as a Weapon. Very, very cool.
But if you do want to read what's going to, like, where they maybe took Fisk from, I would recommend reading Spider-Man Family Business, which is where they actually directly referenced his Hawaiian motif t-shirt.
Yeah, that's directly pulled from that comic.
White and red. Really, really cool. Really, really cool comic. A nice short one as well.
And that, in that comic as well, is the one where Maya, it's got that shot of...
Point blank shoots him. It's not known if she actually shoots him because the last panel, she kind of points the gun downwards. So
it's the same, isn't it? It's like...
Did she really shoot him?
She didn't. Yeah.
Yeah.
Or she shot him and he's...
He's fine. Like,
it bounced off his boobs or something.
After everything he survived in Daredevil, he's not dead.
He's not dead.
And they wouldn't introduce him just to kill him. So
no.
He's not Sean Bean.
In the comics, I think Maya shoots him and it goes into his eye and then he goes through like a rehabilitation phase and he comes back.
Yeah, so that also happens. So I think Kingpin will almost definitely be back. So there's an Echo show, so she's definitely going to be back. Will Hawkeye being Clint Barton, be back?
The training's not done yet. I don't think Kate Bishop is like full Kate Bishop yet. So I think Hawkeye has to come back to train her up a little bit more.
I'm not familiar with the actual comic storyline. Do they actually end up being like small town like vigilantes?
Kate Bishop, she just takes over the Hawkeye mantle. So she does Hawkeye stuff.
Yeah. Because I know Daredevil takes care of Hell's Kitchen, Spider-Man locally around here in Manhattan. Does Hawkeye, do they have like a...
It's
like
a New York... He's a New York based.
Is Daredevil just Hell's Kitchen?
Mostly.
That doesn't really make sense.
It's more than that. But
because Hell's Kitchen is very small.
So Daredevil is like more superhero. Underworld, like things sub-level, not visibly like... All right, street crime, Spider-Man deals with that stuff. Right?
It's funny because there's like 15... More than 15. There's too many superheroes in New York.
In Manhattan. Yeah. It's like a crazy amount.
Yeah. Well, there's Spider-Man, Doctor Strange, Hawkeye.
Daredevil.
Daredevil.
Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles.
Ms. Marvel.
Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles, yeah.
Which
it's a different
thing. Marvel? Yeah.
Nah.
They're not, but the serum that made them what they are is the same serum that turned Matt Murdock into Daredevil.
Yeah.
That's canon.
It's canon in the Ninja Turtles universe.
Yeah.
Which
is...
You know that band that was carrying radioactive chemicals?
How does Matt Murdock even become Daredevil?
He got hit by a truck carrying radioactive chemicals.
When do they show this?
In episode one.
Do they?
Yeah.
Yeah, episode one.
Oh, man, I can't season remember. One. I need to watch
it. It's when he's a kid,
again.
Right?
Yeah. The show is fucking sick.
It's not very clear, like, it's not very clear how that stuff makes him more. It's just toxic chemicals, but I think it's hinted at that there's some bioweapon factory working on really classified shit.
Oh, bro, it's all about the Wuhan lab theory.
No, that would have killed him.
All right, so I think that's the end. There is a post-credit scene, which we don't need to spend too much time talking about. We'll spend less time than it actually went for. So it's just a musical number from the Rogers musical, which is a thing in this universe now.
I thought they were actually going to do something at the end.
People thought they missed a beat with that, where they could have shown any number of characters in the audience just like comment on how bad it was or something. So it could have been Yelena in the audience saying that was shit or something like that.
Yeah.
People were saying it could have been like Anthony Mackie or Sebastian Stan.
Yeah.
Just whoever. Yeah. Or could have been Kate Bishop.
They should have got like Steve Rogers actually be
older.
No. What's the actor's name?
Chris Evans.
They should have got Chris Evans to just make an appearance. That would have been funny.
Yeah.
Or like just having, because he's a musical guy. He loves musicals. They should have just got him in it.
Yeah,
they could have had any number of characters in the audience.
So they have Ant-Man in that scene,
yeah,
and he's not actually there in Avengers.
People are theorizing that.
Also, who's that Asian kid?
That's Ant-Man.
Yeah.
What?
Yeah,
is that Ant-Man?
Yeah.
Oh my god!
People are theorizing that in Endgame, due to how Ant-Man goes back in time.
Yeah,
so maybe
they saw him.
Someone saw him and they thought he was there.
That's funny.
Yeah,
I feel like it was just like, okay, they had to make a mini production just for this show. They might as well show the hard work.
They could have just added one extra scene at the end, just of one of the characters.
Yeah,
it would have been like no time to shoot it. Yeah.
Yeah. But yeah, that was it. There was no other end credit scene, so nothing else hinting at anything else that's coming up. So that was it.
So what is the plan? What are the things coming up next? So Doctor Strange in the multiverse.
We're going to talk about this in the next episode. What's coming up? But yeah, Doctor Strange. There's Miss Marvel. There's Moon Knight. There's
you're saying all these things. I don't know what the fuck.
So there's a lot.
Miss Marvel
is next year.
Origin story.
Yeah.
Okay.
There's Moon Knight, which is also origin.
Moon Knight.
Yeah.
Do they mean Moonlight?
No, Moon Knight.
Moon Knight.
It's what M. Night Shyamalan, how he actually got his name. He was a big comic book fan, and he named himself after that.
And there's Secret Invasion. There's a lot.
Invasion.
Yeah. They're all TV shows?
Yeah, those are all TV shows.
Oh, TV shows.
Yeah, in terms of movies, there's obviously Doctor Strange, Thor,
Do I have the
Black
patience
Panther.
To watch fucking Miss Marvel as TV show?
You bloody well better.
Yeah.
South Asian, we got to support.
Yeah, we got to.
No, it's just Pakistan.
Representation.
This is going to end up in the podcast.
Yeah. I'm going to do a very light edit of this. So everything's
it's going to be a heavy edit.
Everything's
all of Karidi's.
All right, cool. So
I love Pakistan.
Wow, great.
East Pakistan, West Pakistan.
Okay, so I think we'll end it here. So hope you all enjoyed this episode. Thanks, Bhaskar and Karidi, for joining us.
Oh, no worries, man.
Oh, thanks, man. Good to be on.
So our next episode will actually be the most anticipated one, and then we'll be watching Matrix at some stage. So
what's the next episode?
The most anticipated for 2022.
Oh, I think it's going to be the most anticipated episode.
It's also that.
I need to do my Christmas movie review.
You can. We
Home Alone 6. All right. Yeah. So, this is how it starts.
Just going to add an extra hour to this episode.
And it won't even be about that movie. It'll be about some other movie.
All right. Thanks, guys. Thanks for listening. We'll end it here and hope you're all staying safe. We'll see you in the next one.
How do we catch up with you on the pipelines, bro?
Yeah, we'll do. How do people?
Cock at rehow.h.
Yeah, that's it.
Yeah.
Cognitive Recalibration Podcast, gmail.com,
and
all other platforms.
Yeah, yeah, and give us a rating on iTunes and Spotify, which makes us more discoverable.
No okay. worries, man. We'll do.
All right. See you guys. See you next time.
See you guys. Have a safe holiday.
Planning for your next trip? Elevate your travel style with Quince. Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And is all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Hey, everyone. Craig Robinson here. I want you to check out the Ways to Win podcast, brought to you by Ford and the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. On Ways to Win, Coach Cal and I will discuss leadership lessons we've learned. We know all about the days spent perfecting your craft outside of the limelight and have knowledge to share about how strength, inspiration, encouragement, and adaptability are the key ingredients to drive toward your dreams. And those same ingredients can be found in the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. So check out my podcast, Ways to Win, and also check out the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. Learn more at Ford.com. Built Ford tough, built Ford proud.